Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9, and then 18 to 23. Friends, this is the word of God. Listen. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and he sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and he sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seed fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." Then continuing in verse 18, Jesus is speaking and he says, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but cares for the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Friends, this is the word of the Lord, and it abides forever. Thanks be to God. I think it's important to start by saying that Jesus says, "Listen," at the beginning of this parable, and he says, "Listen," in the middle of this parable. So he's driving home the point that he really wants us to listen and take it in. So let's look at the cast of characters in this parable of the sower. We have the sower, we have the seed, we have the soil, we have the birds, the weeds, the withered plants, and then ultimately we have the harvest. And behind all that, friends, is a generous sower of good seed who is the Lord of the harvest. Now, in this parable, we hear about a farmer who's gone out to sow seed. It seems like the farmer's somewhat careless, sowing seed along the path where birds could eat it up, on rocky places where plants would sprout quickly, but due to shallow roots and the sun would scorch. Other seeds scattered among thorns, and they would outgrow the plants and choke them out. Seeds scattered in all these places. Some have said to me that this describes a farmer, but not a very good farmer, one that seems to not know what he's really doing. See, there's no mention of plowing the field or fertilizing or irrigating these crops. The farmer sows seed without thinking much about maximum yield of his field. He's depending on a miracle for any kind of harvest at all. Many farmers may be men and women of faith, but much of their work depends on miracles. They plan ahead, they purchase their materials, they plow, they irrigate, they fertilize, they work to minimize waste by sowing seed with precision, recognizing that minimum waste means maximizing their profit. But there's something about this less economical farmer that Jesus really admires. Jesus interprets his parable far away from the crowds that are with him at first. He takes his disciples apart from the crowd and he explains it to them. He's teaching the disciples by story and by his example because he knows that they're soon to be the ones who will be the sowers, sowing the good news of the kingdom of God. And so to his closest followers, those who would soon be entrusted with spreading the gospel to the earth, Jesus offers this simple parable about a farmer who sows seed and leaves the growth and development and harvest up to God. Do you realize that we're all recipients of God's good seed? We've been given the seeds of the gospel throughout our life, seeds of life abundant in God, seeds that have been sown by pastors, Sunday school teachers, church-going friends, vacation Bible school leaders, friends, family, even strangers at times impart the word of God to us, sowing good seed into our lives. We have folks who love us and folks who hardly know us, who at times come alongside us on life's way and sow God's good seed into our lives. And the good news is that the Creator God, the generous sower of seed, the same one who's the Lord of the harvest, makes the miracle of life and growth occur in those who receive the seed. Notice that the good news is the seed. It's the story of God's love for the world and for each of us beloved children. Jesus does not say to work the soil or amend it or fertilize it, at least not in this particular story. Jesus does not say we should choose the soil into which we will cast seed wisely. He simply tells the crowd and the disciples that the world is full of soil that is inhospitable, some hostile to the seeds of God's word, and yet he says to go out and scatter the seed widely. We're to keep this in mind as we go about our planting so that we'll not be discouraged or lose focus. Jesus says, go out and sow. Don't worry about the soil condition. Further, there's no need to worry about the seed. Scarcity doesn't appear to be an issue given that the sower of seed is scattering it widely, almost with reckless abandon. And there's no suggestion from Jesus that the lack of growth is somehow due to faulty seed. You see, God gives us the seed, scattering it freely, graciously, lovingly, extravagantly, sowing it time and time again until it takes hold in the right place at the right time within us. And by God's grace and creative power, the miracle of life from within those seed, the seeds of the gospel begin to grow. And growth occurs most often in spite of us, most often not on account of our efforts, but perhaps in concert with our increasing cooperation with God, the creator of the seed and the creator of us. We're sent out then to go and sow in cooperation with creation and God's goodwill. Jill Duffield, who's editor of the Outlook, says of this parable, our focus should be on throwing seed, the sharing of the word through preaching and teaching and doing the gospel. And the results of our sowing should not be our concern. It's not about success or failure. It's not on us. The kingdom work has nothing to do with achievement and everything to do with passionate participation. You see, now that we've been shown how much grace and growth occurs under the watchful care of a loving Lord of the harvest, ours is but to nurture the process, to cooperate with Christ in this process, and to freely sow the seeds of the gospel day by day, year after year, and to trust God and God alone with the harvest. We're to trust God, the generous sower of seed and the Lord of the harvest, to quicken each seed, to bring forth growth within those seeds, and to nurture the corresponding growth that will lead to an ultimate harvest. So I ask, what have we got to lose? Our calling as seed recipients from God is to pay it forward, to go and scatter the good seed of the gospel throughout our community, freely, widely, showing by our love and kindness the compelling welcome and witness to God who is the generous sower of seed. God's present and coming kingdom will not come without some resistance, and we can't accuse Jesus of covering up that truth. There'll be times that failure is certain. Followers' best efforts won't always lead to the bearing of good fruit. And yet the moral of the story is keep sowing the seed. Keep planting. Keep sowing it generously. Don't be surprised if the yield is nothing. Rejoice when you're surprised, however, by a harvest that surprises you. One of those that's 100-fold or 60-fold or 30-fold. So keep going. Keep throwing. Keep sowing. Friends, we need to be constantly reminded that God is the one who goes before us. And God is the one who's preparing the hearts of men and women and boys and girls around this globe to receive the seeds of the gospel, to receive this gift that can give growth to new life, germination and growth in a relationship with God, the generous sower of seed. It is God who will ultimately grow us up into deeper relationship rooted in God alone. With all that's happening in our world today that seems so contentious and harsh and destructive, we may question, where are you, God, in the midst of all this turmoil? But let us not despair. Resistance to God's reign of justice, mercy, and grace is a real thing. It's inevitable. But ultimately, God has victory, and God brings home a harvest. We can trust that there will be bursts of amazing, life-giving, abundant growth that will come out of hard and difficult times like we're living in the midst of right now. Practically, our focus is not on the soil or on the seed, but to direct our attention to the giver of the seed, the generous sower of seed, to look to God, and to ask, how can we cooperate with God, the generous sower of seed, to work to loosen hard-packed hearts that can't seem to receive the seed of God? Or how can we work in our relationships to pull weeds or chase away birds that might choke out or snatch the seed of God from the hearts and lives of people? How can we nurture and tend healthy growth of the seed of God in people's lives right here, right now, that they might come to be deeply rooted in God and bear God's fruit in godly living and serving God, the generous, extravagant sower of seed? Those are questions we can walk out with today and look at our world and question, how is it, Lord, that we can cooperate with you in the sowing of your good seed? Please bow with me now for a prayer. Jesus, you sow yourself, the word of truth, generously, the word of life, graciously. We ask that you defend us from the evil one who seeks to snatch us away or to choke out our faith and hope. Fortify us for hard times and costly discipleship, that we may endure in seasons of drought and flooding and even social isolation. Deliver us from distractions, from worldly desires and all that would lure us and choke us with false promises. Till us, O God. Turn us, O God. Weed us, Lord, of all that is unneeded. Enrich us with every blessing of your Spirit, that we may be good, good soil, forever faithful and fruitful for you within your kingdom. And again I say, how good of God. Alleluia. Amen. Friends, I thank each of you and every one of you for your ongoing support of Celebration. by participating in these times of virtual worship, by your continued prayers, not just for the sick, but for us all, for your financial support during these challenging times. And I remind you of a number of ways that we're trying to reach out and gather us together virtually to lift our spirits and to glorify God. Please join me on Tuesday evenings for virtual Vespers at 7:30 p.m. Please join with Sarah on Thursday evenings at 6:30 p.m. for beer and hymns. And join us again next Sunday at 11 a.m. as we'll gather again for more virtual worship on Facebook live stream. Now this afternoon, we ask you to please, please, please join us for a congregational meeting by Zoom. It's been called for today at 12:30 p.m. We'll be acting on proposed changes to the terms of call for the pastor. Details were sent out by email and snail mail this week, giving you instructions on how to log in and participate in this Zoom meeting, either on your computer or smartphone, or simply by calling in from your telephone. Please choose to participate in this special meeting today at 12:30 p.m. Now hear this charge. My homiletics professor, Dr. Robert Hall, said this, and it was profound, stuck with me. He says, there are moments of tremendous waste in this world. And we can read this parable and see only the wastefulness of this farmer who's wasting seed by putting it in places it can't possibly grow. But the second part of his statement was, there are also moments of inexplicable grace. And that's what we see in the generosity of this sower of seed that is willing to keep scattering and keep scattering in hopes of bringing forth a harvest. So what, you say? I say, so go and sow. Sow seeds of the gospel of peace. Trust God, the generous sower of seed, and the Lord of the harvest to help those seeds grow. And know that the results of the harvest are secure in our loving God's hands. Now go and sow and sow and sow some more. And may God guide us in sowing and serving and living and loving generously, both now and evermore. Now receive this benediction. Go forth into the world with compassion and justice in your heart. Give voice to the silent and strength to the weak. Hear one another, see one another, care for one another, and love one another. It's all that easy, and it's all that hard. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit be with us all, both now and forevermore. And all God's children say, amen.